We've come today to another case of conversion that we read in the book of Acts. This will be the last one we'll study in this series. Several months ago, we looked at the Philippian jailer, or sometime back in Acts 16, so we will not go over that again. But we have the Philippian jailer in version 2 of this particular series. But now we will come to Cornelius, a good man who was lost. This is the second version under this name, and it is found in Acts chapters 10 and 11. Cornelius was a good man in the sense that he was seeking to serve God in a sincere manner, even though he was a Gentile, a non-Jew. And we read about his character in Acts chapter 10 and verse 1. Now there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. So he had an upright character that was seeking to serve God, praying to God, being benevolent to the Jewish people who were also following the law of Moses as they knew it. But in spite of his character, Cornelius was still in need of salvation. How could this be? Cornelius had not obeyed the gospel of Jesus. He had not obeyed Jesus, his Savior and his Lord. Cornelius, like all accountable people, was guilty of sins and in need of the cleansing blood of Jesus. And so he would have to come to grips with what Jesus called upon him to do to be saved. Although Cornelius had some knowledge of Jesus, he needed to know about what Jesus did to save humanity, his perfect life that he lived, his death on the cross, burial, resurrection, and now ruling in heaven. Cornelius needed to know who Jesus was so he could even have faith in Jesus. He did not know how to obey the gospel, God's one plan of salvation for both Jews and Gentiles. He would need to know what he must do to be saved, if anything, what God required. He did not know that God had appointed Jesus as judge of all, including him. But he wanted to hear and do all the Lord commanded him to be saved. Even though Cornelius didn't know, he wanted to know. And when he would find out what Jesus had commanded him to do to be saved, he would do it without hesitation or argument or objection. Cornelius was commanded to send for Peter to preach the gospel to them. Acts chapter 10 and verse 3. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to them, "Cornelius," and fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God." Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. And to get more insight into why he was to send for Peter, Acts chapter 11, verse 13 and 14, as Peter was retelling what had happened previously to brethren in Jerusalem, and he reported to us, that is Cornelius, how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, "Send to Joppa and have Peter, who is also called have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here, and he will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and your household." And so he was commanded to send for Peter, and Peter would speak the message of salvation to him, the gospel, which is the only power to save. Our good moral life will not save us. It is only the gospel and the blood of Jesus that will save us from our sins. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so Cornelius sends two soldiers to go, send soldiers to Peter. Peter commanded to go to Cornelius' house. So at the same time, Peter received a supernatural, a divine message that he was to go, a vision. As he recounted this later, Acts chapter 11 and verse 5, Peter said, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. An object coming down like a great sheet lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze on it and was observing it, I saw the four corners, animals of the earth. I saw the four-footed animals of the earth, and the wild beast, and the crawling creatures, and the birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a voice from heaven answered a second time, 'What God has cleansed, no longer consider unclean.'" Well, what did this mean? We'll get to that in a moment. This happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. And behold, at that moment, three men appeared at the house, so he sent three instead of two to fetch Peter. At the house which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea, the Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. These six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. Why did God have to command Peter to go and preach the gospel to Cornelius? Well, unlike Cornelius, the gospel had been spoken only to the Jews, many of whom were still prejudiced against the Gentiles, that is, those who were not Jewish. It was not clear to them, to the Jews, that the Gentiles should be taught the gospel and received as Christians equal to the Jews. And so, what did God do? He would interpose to make it clear to the Jews that the gospel must be preached and the Gentiles must be accepted equally. It was not clear to them that all could be saved without being circumcised and keeping the law of Moses. But with God's help through the Spirit's commands and a vision, Peter went willingly, taking 6 Jewish Christians with him. But it would take another miracle for God to teach them to accept the Gentiles as spiritual equals. And we're going to read about that in just a moment. But when Peter and the others arrived at Cornelius' house, Cornelius tried to worship Peter. Peter commands him to get up because he is just a man. And in Acts 10 and verse 28, and he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean." That is a revelation, because now Peter says, I understand that I should not look down on the Gentiles. Verse 34, opening his mouth, Peter said, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." That is, God is ready to receive whoever will obey the gospel, whatever nation they are from, whatever their background. It doesn't matter. God is willing if they will turn to him according to the terms of pardon to accept them and to forgive them of their sins. Acts 10:24, Cornelius and his household are ready to hear the gospel that Peter is ready to preach. On the following day, he entered Caesarea, that is Peter. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. And in verse 33, chapter 10, he said, "So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." The attitude of Peter was the attitude of Cornelius was, we are eager to hear the gospel. Whatever the Lord commands, we are ready. That is a beautiful attitude. And he was ready to hear and obey along with his household. The gospel is God's power to save, but the person who hears it must have a good and honest heart to receive it and to obey it as the word of God. And Cornelius had such a heart. All I want to know is what I need to do, what the Lord has commanded you, whatever that is. Peter begins to preach the gospel to Cornelius and household, speaking about Jesus. Acts 10 and verse 36, the word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You yourselves know the things which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus, the Nazarene, of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land and in land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed to God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. That is what Peter was saying to the house of Cornelius about Jesus, what he had done to live the perfect life before God, and how he had performed miracles to confirm his identity as the Son of God, and how that they crucified him. But God's purpose was to bring forgiveness of sins to those who would believe in him. But before Peter could finish that message, while Peter is speaking, Cornelius and his household are baptized with the Holy Spirit. Acts 10 and verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then the unfortunate verse break here, or the verse structure, where it begins to go into the next statement. Then Peter answered, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But first, why or what happened that Cornelius and his household were baptized in the Holy Spirit? Why was this happening? It had not happened since Acts chapter 2, when the gospel was first preached, when the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, was given from heaven to the apostles, where they could speak in tongues, foreign languages that they had not learned, but their fellow Jews had learned. Why is it happening now? The 12 apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit to reveal and confirm the gospel, beginning with the Jews, Acts chapter 2, that had been foretold by Joel, chapter 2, verse 28 through 32. They had been led into speaking in foreign languages, and they spoke exactly what God wanted them to say so that people would know what they must do to be saved. Cornelius and household were baptized in the Holy Spirit to confirm to the Jews that all must hear and be saved by the same gospel, including the Gentiles, non-Jews. So Cornelius is experiencing this miraculous display of the power of the Holy Spirit to show Peter and his six companions, the other Jews, that they must preach the gospel to all people in the world, and when they obey the gospel, they must accept them as fellow heirs of the grace of life and not treat them as second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. The gospel must be preached to all nations, to all peoples, regardless of who they are. Peter recounted this later in Jerusalem when there were objections arising that he had gone to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 11 and verse 15, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning." Going back to Acts chapter 2. "And I remember the word of the Lord, how he used to say, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Therefore, if God gave to them the same gift as he gave to us, also, after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, "Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life." And so we have the statement that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was not for the benefit of Cornelius in the sense of their salvation, but was for the confirmation to the Jewish brethren that they should treat the Gentiles like anyone else, and that they should not withhold the gospel from them or to treat them differently if they obeyed the gospel. They should preach the gospel and accept those who obeyed the gospel equally, whether Jew or Gentile. Must we be baptized with the Holy Spirit today to be saved? No. Many point to Cornelius as an example that we must be baptized with the Holy Spirit in order to be saved, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit on Cornelius and household was not a command to be obeyed, but a promise received directly from God. And we see a little correction that we need to correct there, for form from instead of form, but at least we understand that this is a clear point. It was a promise received by these individuals, not a command. The purpose, again, was not for Cornelius to be saved, but for the Jews to understand that God would save them by the gospel in the same way he saved the Jews. In order to be saved, forgiven, Cornelius, like all, believed to the point of repenting and being baptized, immersed in water, in the name of Jesus, for forgiveness of sins. And that's exactly what happened. Acts chapter 10, verse 47 and 48, Peter answered, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he?" And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. Well, why did they order him to be baptized in water? If he was already saved by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but nobody else had been baptized with the Holy Spirit since the apostles, the 12, on the day of Pentecost so many years ago, and now Cornelius and household. So if baptism of the Holy Spirit is necessary to be saved, then nobody else was going to be saved, because these are the only two instances where that ever occurred. But he commands them to be baptized in water, immersed, submerged in water, for the forgiveness of their sins in the name of Jesus. As he had commanded those who cried out, "What shall we do?" In Acts chapter 2, the first preaching of the gospel, Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The salvation that God has brought through Jesus, the shed blood that is needed to cleanse us, as we have faith in that shed blood, as we repent and confess Jesus as the Son of God, like the eunuch did, in Acts chapter 8, and as we are baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins, then we become Christians. Matthew 26:28, "For this is my blood," Jesus said, "of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." So, that's what Cornelius did. He repented, confessed Jesus as the Son of God, and was baptized for the forgiveness of his sins, trusting in God through the blood of Jesus to cleanse him. And that is what we must do to be saved. We must be able to submit to God willingly, without argument. Are we good enough to be saved without obeying the gospel in the way that they did? Although Cornelius was devout, he feared God, was benevolent and prayerful, he was not saved until he obeyed the gospel. He was not saved until he obeyed the gospel. He was not saved by receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was not for his salvation. That was a promise that fulfilled Joel 2, verse 28-32, confirming to Peter and the other Jews that they should not act with partiality, but equally accepting those who obey the gospel, whoever they are, preaching the gospel to all the world. He was not saved by the sinner's prayer. There was no saving by the sinner's prayer that day. But like Cornelius, why not obey the gospel today by believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, and being baptized for forgiveness of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God? That is how we become Christians in that manner. There is no other way that we can be saved. And so why not do that before it is ever too late? That we may be able to go forth and be saved by the grace of God through obedient faith. We would encourage all to respond, that we may, like Cornelius, be saved by the one gospel that has been given. If you would call, text, or email us, we would be glad to help you in your further study with a view to obedience to the gospel. We can study with you remotely by Zoom, or maybe find someone who can help you more directly in your area. We would be glad to hear from you at any time. Those who are already Christians, like Simon, became a Christian in Acts chapter 8, but later coveted the power of the Holy Spirit. He was told to repent and pray that his intention of his heart may be forgiven. We are to repent and pray as Christians and confess our sins as often as needed. Acts chapter 8, verse 18 through 24, 1 John chapter 1, that we might continue in the grace of our Lord to be able to grow more in his grace and knowledge. If you would be subject to that gospel invitation, we would encourage all to respond today or whenever you may hear this lesson, as now we draw this lesson to a close.